2 Samuel chapter 9. Let me welcome you all here tonight as well. We're glad to see you all out at Youth Fellowship and out again at this youth mission. I want to thank you all for coming. And perhaps you're here for the first time. I want to thank you for being here. And we certainly appreciate your presence. We enjoyed the meetings this past few nights. Looking forward as well to the Lord's Day at 6:30. And if you're free, you'd be more than welcome to come back again. And to those who have brought people, let me encourage you to bring others and bring others back again on Sunday night as well. And we're looking forward to hearing the young people take part. Singing has been tremendous night after night. And the singing from the quartet tonight has been exceptional. Thank you. That was really, really lovely. And we've really been blessed by the singing. So you make sure you come back again on the Lord's Day at 6:30 as this mission comes to a conclusion. Over these past few nights, we've been looking at the subject of the grace of God. God's grace. And perhaps when we think of the subject of the grace of God, we automatically turn to the New Testament. But over the past number of nights, we've been seeking to show you how that the grace of God is just as evident, maybe not so clearly so, in the Old Testament as it is in the New. And we've been looking at different characters that have experienced the grace of God. We looked at Noah on Wednesday evening, the first mention of grace in the Bible. Last night we were looking at Ruth, and tonight we want to look at another Old Testament character. He's got a different name. His name is Mephibosheth. And I'll try my best not to make a mess of saying that name, and I'll try to say it not too often in case I embarrass myself and do make a mess of saying that name. I struggle with English, let alone Hebrew. So it's Mephibosheth, and if I just refer to him as him from now on, you'll understand why. Let's read from 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we're going to read from verse number 5, 2 Samuel chapter 9, and the verse number 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. And now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's just come before the Lord again, please, in a wee word of prayer. And let's each one just take a moment to stir our hearts before the Lord. Let's pray that the Lord will speak to all of us tonight. If you're saved, the Lord would speak to you. And if you're not saved, it's our prayer that the Lord would speak to you especially, bring you tonight to himself, that you would experience the grace of God that we've been looking at this past two nights, and that by the help of God we'll look at tonight as well. So let's all pray. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for help given. Lord, as the message and song have been brought, Lord, the singing together of these lovely hymns, Lord, we thank thee that you've been here. But, O God, we pray that as we come now to the Word of God, to the Scriptures of truth, we just ask, O God, tonight for thy help. Lord, that we need thee. Each one of us, Lord, in this meeting tonight need thee. O God, we pray that you'll come and speak to us. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to hear tonight, not the voice of a preacher, but, Lord, help us to hear the voice of God. Lord, truly make this a living word to all of our hearts tonight, we pray. And, O God, we pray that this evening you will be pleased, Lord, to take a dealing. Lord, for those who are here without the Saviour and know nothing of thy so great salvation, O God, we pray that even tonight they'll come, put their faith and their trust in thee. Lord, that tonight salvation will come and visit this place. Lord, that some young person, Lord, will come, put their faith and trust in thee and experience the grace of God for themselves. So be with us, we pray tonight. Help us, O God, we ask of thee. And Lord, may thy presence be felt, may thy voice be heard, and through it all may thy name be lifted on high. So hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. I wonder, young people, have you ever felt lonely? You ever felt that there is nobody really interested in you? Maybe perhaps because of something that's happened or situations that have come across your life, you have felt so all alone. Tonight we want to consider this young man by the name of Mephibosheth. He was just a young lad. But he really had nothing in this world. And yet that's amazing to think, because he was actually the king's grandson. His grandfather was King Saul. His father was Jonathan. But sometimes previous to our reading here in 2 Samuel chapter 9, both his grandfather King Saul and his father Jonathan were both killed in battle. And Mephibosheth was left alone. He had nothing. And he really had nobody in this world. And maybe this evening, as you sit in this meeting, that's how you feel. You feel that nobody is interested in you. Nobody really cares for you. You could be in a massive crowd and yet feel so all alone. That was the case for Mephibosheth. His future really was bleak. He had nothing to look forward to. The only one who really cared for him was a nurse who looked after him. He was an orphan, sought to care for him. But as far as his prospects were concerned, compared to what they would have been if his grandfather and father had still been alive, they were bleak. But this young lad was about to experience amazing grace. This young lad's life was about to be turned around and transformed. And he was about to realize that there was someone greater than anybody else that cared for him. Here is Mephibosheth in this chapter. And there is a tremendous account again here of the amazing grace of God in the life of this young lad. Jonathan's son, King Saul's grandson. Mephibosheth, now an orphan, fatherless, hopeless, but his life was about to change entirely, because that day he met the new king. He met someone who really cared and who really had an interest in him. And right at the very start of this meeting tonight, I want you to say this evening, I'm sure there are many people who care for you and love you. But this evening, there is no one loves you more and no one who has a care more than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to look at that this evening, this beautiful, wonderful account of the gospel in the life of Mephibosheth. A young lad who had nothing, and yet a young lad whose life was changed and transformed. As we consider these verses together, first of all, I wanted to see here the concern of the sovereign. The concern of the sovereign. Verse number one we read, and David. This is King David. As we said, King Saul is now dead. And David is now the king, the new king. And if you know anything of this story, you know that Saul hated David. David defeated Goliath while King Saul was king. David was popular because of it. He was liked because of it. Saul was full of jealousy because of it. And he sought to kill and to destroy David. David was King Saul's arch enemy. But now Saul is dead, and David is king. And you would think by the natural turn of events that David would really want nothing to do anymore with the house of Saul. After all, it was Saul that sought to kill him. Saul who wanted David taken out of this scene of time. Yet David had a concern. He's now a king. And he didn't have to show any concern at all. But look what he says. Look what he says in verse 1. Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? As we consider this concern, notice his interest. You see, David had the right to destroy every living member of the house of Saul. As king, he had that right. In an attempt to quash any possible rebellion that there might be against David's reign, he could have removed every remaining member of the household of Saul. But he didn't. He didn't. He had an interest, even in those who would have been seen as his enemies. David and Mephibosheth's father Jonathan, you see, sometime before this, had entered into a covenant, and they made this promise that they were going to look after each other's promise. And here's David with the whole world at his feet, the entire kingdom now under his rule and reign, and yet he didn't forget his word. He didn't forget his promise. He was going to be faithful to his word, even though Mephibosheth could be seen as an enemy. Young people, in the gospel, what a wonderful picture that is. Because who tonight does the Lord Jesus Christ love? Who was it that the Lord Jesus Christ died for? We who were his enemies. We were born in sin. We had no interest after God. We were seen as the enemies of God. Romans 5 and 8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yet God entered into that tremendous covenant and promise away back in Genesis 3:15 when he promised the Redeemer God was going to be true to his word. You see, and we thought about this on Wednesday night, but let me come back to it. When Adam fell in sin in the garden, God could have had every right to turn his back on this whole world. He'd have been entirely just to do that. But he promised a Redeemer. He promised a Savior. How descriptive the account here of now King Saul, who is a wonderful type, an example, a picture of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, showing kindness to those who showed no kindness to him. David had an interest in those who had no interest in him. And here's the amazing thing. Mephibosheth didn't know anything about David at this stage. And you know, whenever we were in our sin, we had no thought after God. No thought after him. And so David says, is there any that is left of the house of Saul? And notice what he says, is there yet any that is left? He wasn't looking for anybody in particular. It wasn't just a certain type of person that he was going to show interest in. He said, is there anyone? Is there anyone? And thank God tonight, the grace of God extends to the whosoever will. Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to save a particular type of people. He didn't come to save people who go to church every Sunday. He didn't come to save people who are good and upright and moral. The scriptures tell us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when David asks this question, is there yet any? It reminds us that the gospel is extended to all, to the whosoever will. A young person tonight, it matters not who you are or what you are. Grace of God can reach you, can save you. Maybe you think tonight the Lord wouldn't love me. The Lord has no interest in me. Well, as we thought last night, the Lord has the interest in the individual. And he has an interest in you tonight. And he has that desire for you to be saved. We see the interest of this concern, but notice as well the intention. What was David going to do? Verse 1 again, that I may show him kindness. Kindness. This word kindness here is the Old Testament equivalent of the word grace. In fact, as you read this chapter, that one word kindness could be written over this entire chapter. This is a chapter of grace. This kindness that was promised way back in that covenant bond that David and Jonathan made. And let's just turn to it for a moment in 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20, just a few chapters back. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and the verse 14. First Samuel 20 and the verse 14, here's the promise David makes with Jonathan. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. This was the kindness, this was the grace, not just while they lived, but to the rest of their family forever. This was grace that David wanted to show to Mephibosheth. The grace that he had promised to his father Jonathan. Whenever we think about this grace, this kindness that Mephibosheth was going to be shown, it was undeserved. It was undeserved. It most certainly was real, as we'll see. It was genuine. But David just wasn't doing this for show. David just wasn't going to show kindness or grace or favor to Mephibosheth just for the sake of it. It was real. It was true. It was genuine, even though it was undeserved. He chose to show this kindness and love to the house of Saul, even though they deserve to be outcasts. Is that not a picture of the gospel tonight? That in the gospel, young people, the Lord shows kindness and grace to you and to me. We deserve nothing from God. But God in his grace sent his Son to be our Savior, to take us out of sin and to bring us into salvation. Young people tonight, God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you on the cross, even though we deserve nothing of that. Notice something more, and we'll get out of verse 1 yet. That I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. Now I want you to notice that. Take note of that little phrase at the end of verse 1, for Jonathan's sake. If it had not been for Jonathan, Mephibosheth would never have experienced this grace, this kindness. If it had not been for the sake of another, he would never have experienced this. He would have been left the way he was. The merit of this grace, this kindness that he was going to be shown, was for the sake of another and was on the basis of another. Do you know how we experience the grace of God? It's not for our sakes. It's for the sake of another, and that other is Jesus Christ. Let me read what Ephesians 4 and 32 says. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Salvation has been shed abroad in our hearts through Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven for his name's sake. You see, it's because of Christ we can experience this grace. We thought of Boaz last night. Where did Ruth find this grace that she needed? She found it in Boaz, as we showed last night, was a picture of Christ. For the sake of another, Mephibosheth was going to find the grace of God. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, we can find that grace of God tonight. You'll not find it anywhere else. You'll not find the grace of God anywhere else, young people. You'll not find the salvation that you need anywhere else. Do you know, David would have found it hard. He would have found it hard to love Mephibosheth for any other reason if it were not for the sake of Jonathan. God, for the sake of his son, who gave his life on the cross as a ransom for our sin, guilty, wretched, hell-deserving sinners as we were, show kindness, compassion toward us for his sake. We're loved tonight. The grace of God is extended tonight, not because of who you are or what you are, but because of Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, do you know him? Have you experienced this grace? Have you experienced the forgiveness of your sins? Are you saved tonight? Before we go any further, let me say this. You'll only find salvation, you'll only find the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. And in nothing else. Whether you come to this church or another church, it makes no difference. Because you'll not find it here. You'll not find it in any church, any organization, any religion. You'll find it only in Jesus Christ. You must come to him tonight. You must give your heart and life to him tonight. If you're going to be brought in and taken out of the darkness of your sin, it'll only be through Jesus Christ. We see the concern of the sovereign. But notice now the condition of the sufferer. Because let's look for a moment at the condition of Mephibosheth. But one of the best known aspects of the life of Mephibosheth was, as we read at the very end of verse 13, the very end of the chapter, was that he was lame on both feet. He was unable to walk. When he was 5 years old, as his grandfather's kingdom had come to an end, and his nurse taking him and fleeing the kingdom for fear of his life dropped him, and Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. He's now an orphan. Because of that incident, this young lad couldn't walk. As we think of the condition of the sufferer, notice his inability. His inability. He was lame on both feet. He needed help. He needed assistance. He couldn't do anything for himself. You know what? What a wonderful picture that is of the sinner. We're able to walk physically, thank God for that. But spiritually, we can do nothing to help ourselves. As a result of our first parents fall into sin, we are spiritually unable to do anything to help ourselves. This inability of Mephibosheth led to a lack of strength. It led to a lack of power. Mephibosheth was helpless. He was hopeless. He was hindered. His strength was diminished. He couldn't do anything. And tonight, young person, because of our sin, we can do nothing. You can't save yourself. Your minister can't save you. I can't save you. Your youth leaders can't save you. We can do nothing for ourselves because we're weak. The gospel message, thank God, is that while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. The Lord doesn't wait for us to try to do better because we couldn't do better. The Lord doesn't wait for us to try to turn our lives around because we can't turn our lives around. We must realize tonight that anything that we can do or anything we think we can do to merit us any acceptance with God is futile and useless. Mephibosheth could do nothing. It's sad to say there are many tonight who think they can do a little bit to help them on their way to God, on their way to heaven. People come to church. I think that'll help to merit some favor with God. It's important to come to church. Necessary. It's good to come to church. You could come to church every day of your life. And yet if you don't come to Christ, you'll be lost in hell when your life comes to an end. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, nothing and no one will save you apart from Christ. The only work, young people, you need tonight, the only work that avails for you is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. When he died, he shed his blood that you might be saved. We see his inability, we see his poverty as well. We find in verse number 4 that Mephibosheth lived in this place called Lodabar. It was a town in Gilead. Lodabar in the Hebrew, it means without pasture. He was in a place where there was nothing to sustain him. Nothing to support him. And as a result, he was impoverished. He was in want, he was in need. And he would have stayed like that. And you know, sin robs us of blessing. Sin robs us of so much in life. Sin brings poverty. Sin brings hunger. Sin brings destruction. Sin brings hurt. Young people, sin will destroy your life. Sin will destroy your home. Sin will destroy your prospects. The world paints a rosy, glossy picture of sin. And maybe you're thinking tonight, oh, if only I could get to a certain age and get away from my parents and get into the things of the world, I would live it up. Sin will do nothing but destroy you. Sin will do nothing but bring you down. And this morning I had the very sad situation of being at a funeral of a young man whose life was totally ruined by sin. Left behind three very, very young children whose hearts are just broken because of sin. Young people tonight, sin will destroy your life. Don't think sin will help you. Don't think sin will make you better. Sin will destroy your life. This poverty of Mephibosheth was clear. This inability of Mephibosheth was clear. And yet it was in that condition that David went searching for him. Verse 5, then King David sent. He didn't go looking for the best of Saul's household. He went to an insignificant, unable young lad to show him kindness. Thank God tonight the grace of God is extended to us no matter who we are. And in our state of sin and in our condition of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ searches us and he can save us. Christ in the gospel searches out the sinner. And he finds the sinner in that place of destitution, in that place of poverty, in that place of depravity. He doesn't wait for you to turn your life around because, as we've said, we can't. Then King David sent. This shows us the wonderful truth, even as we saw it last night, of a Saviour who loves and a Saviour who goes searching. What do we read? Luke 19 and 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And tonight in this meeting, he's seeking you out. He's searching you out tonight. He wants to save you tonight. We see as well, not only his inability, we see his poverty. But notice as well his humility. His humility. Look at verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. He fell on his face and did reverence. Verse 8 we read, he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon me as such a dead dog as I am? What humility, what honesty. Mephibosheth didn't come to David and said, well, do you not know who I am? Do you not know who my grandfather was? I'm the grandson of King Saul. No, he came humbly, reverently, before the Lord. And he bowed himself. He realized he had nothing to offer to the king. He could do nothing to help himself. Look what he says that in verse 8, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am. In other words, he thought, he knew he was nothing. Young person, it's not until you come to that place before God and you realize you have nothing to offer to God. You can't reason and argue and rational out salvation. You have nothing to offer God. You just need to come the way you are. Come to Jesus Christ the way you are. And maybe you're not sure. And maybe you've doubts and all of these things. And you don't know how it'll all work out. You don't know the whole thing about salvation. Listen. The day the Lord saves you, he makes you a new creature. And then he goes on to teach you the things of God that you grow in grace. You're not going to know the whole thing and the whole inner workings of salvation the day you're saved. You give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, realizing you can do nothing else. And then you go on and you walk with him, talk with him, and learn more about him. There was humility here. Mephibosheth acknowledged his worthlessness and his helplessness. Young person, have you ever come to that point to realize that you're worthless and helpless before God? If you've come to that point, then that's the very point God wants you to be at. You see, there's no room for pride. There's no room for stout hearts, but humble, broken, contrite hearts to think that the Lord should show grace to such an unworthy sinner such as we are. We've seen the concern of the sovereign, the condition of the sufferer, but very quickly as we close, my time is gone, there's the change in the son. His life was about to change forever. He would never be the same after meeting King David. His life changed. How did it change? Mephibosheth is no longer an orphan, but now he is brought in. He's a son. He has been shown kindness by the king. We see, first of all, here there's a new peace. A new peace. Look in verse 7. David said unto him, fear not, fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Mephibosheth came trembling before David, not knowing exactly how he would be accepted, but he found acceptance. King David said to him, fear not. You don't need to be troubled anymore. You don't need to fear anymore. You see, sin brings bondage. Sin brings fear. But Christ brings peace and deliverance. And what peace flooded his heart when he heard the king say to him, fear not. He expected words of danger and words of dread. But the king spoke words of peace to him. Maybe tonight your heart's troubled. And you're anxious and you're worried. You've heard you need to be saved, but you don't know how it'll all work out. If you were to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, what will happen? The Lord says to you tonight, fear not. Fear not. He's got a new peace. But he's also got a new position. The end of verse 7. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He's brought from that place, Lodabar, where there's nothing, to the very king's table. Like Ruth, as we saw last night, she who had nothing, yet she went out full, having met her Redeemer. He was made a son of that family. Verse 9, at the end of verse 11. He shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. You see, everything that King Saul had lost to Mephibosheth was restored through King David. And all the blessings that Adam lost for us in the fall are restored to us through Jesus Christ. By nature, we're outcasts, we're strangers, we're far from God, but through Christ, we're brought into the family of God. You can be a member of the royal household of God tonight. if you were to come to God through Jesus Christ. This world lies in great poverty, great need, not monetary, but spiritual. But all that we have lost can be restored to us through Jesus Christ. He's got a new provision. Four times, at the end of this chapter, four times it speaks about Mephibosheth eating at the king's table. I don't think any of us will ever eat at King Charles's table, and if you do, well, the Lord bless you. But I don't think we'll, speaking personally, I don't think we'll get an invitation to the palace to eat at his table. But there's an invitation in the gospel to eat at a far greater king's table. Tonight, the Lord invites you to come to him and eat at his table. Come and dine. You can have in Christ all that your soul will ever need. You see, the one who comes to Christ will not lack anything. Christ is no disappointment, young people. He satisfies. There's a new provision. There's a new position. There's a new peace. But finally, there's a new pledge. Come to the end of verse 13, the end of the chapter. Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. Daily, constantly. He was going to be a child of the king. He was going to be brought into the royal family. And he was never going to be out of the royal family. You see, you come to Jesus Christ tonight. He not only saves you by his grace, but he keeps you by his grace. You maybe think tonight I would be saved. Well, I could go and lose it tomorrow. Well, left to us, yes, we would. But the Lord who saves is the Lord who keeps continually. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Young person, you come to Jesus Christ. Yes, there will be times we'll fail him, be times we'll let him down, but he gives you eternal life, and continually and constantly he'll keep you through good times, through hard times. Grace saves a soul, grace keeps a soul. Mephibosheth was going to eat continually at the king's table. What grace. What amazing grace was shown to this young man. What a change in his life. Young man who had nothing. No prospects. Nothing to look forward to. But the king showed interest. And the day he met the king, his life was changed. Young people, the day you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, your life will be changed forever. You don't need to know how it's all going to work out 5 years, 10 years down the line, or 5 days or 5 weeks down the line. You just come to Jesus Christ. Let him save your soul. And let him not only save you, but let him keep you. May you experience his grace tonight. Don't remain as a stranger. Don't remain as an outcast. Don't remain in your sin. Don't stay where you are, still in your sin tonight. Come to Christ. And in him you'll find everything that your soul will long for. Will you come to him tonight? Will you come and experience his grace? Let's bow in prayer. And as we bow in prayer, young people, thank you for listening again tonight. Thank you for your attention. But I wonder, is there someone this evening? Perhaps you've come into this meeting, you've been troubled, concerned, anxious. You can go away tonight with peace in your heart. You can go with Christ tonight. He'll save you. He'll turn your life around. His grace can reach you tonight. And whatever you do, young people, as we've said, a night's gone by. Don't put it off. Don't put it off to another time. Don't wait until Sunday night. We're not even promised tomorrow night or the rest of this night. Come tonight. Come to Jesus Christ tonight and be saved. Come to Jesus Christ tonight and experience this grace. Will you come? You want to speak to myself or some of your youth leaders, you do that. But where you are tonight, you can ask the Lord into your heart. Acknowledge that you have nothing to offer before Him. And just cry unto Him to save your soul. And if you've done that, then tell us, tell someone. Or if you want to speak further, then by all means, we're only too happy to do that. But whatever you do tonight, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're right with God. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for Thy word. And, O God, we pray that the grace of God will reach into some young heart tonight, we pray. Oh God, we thank Thee tonight for the change the grace of God brings into a life. Oh God, we pray that You'll bring that change into some young life tonight. Oh Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll be pleased to write Thy word upon our hearts. Lord, by the Spirit of the living God, apply the word to hearts tonight. Speak, we pray. Strive, O God, we ask, save to Thy glory. Take our thanks, Lord, for the things that have been prepared. And, O God, we pray that You'll just guard us, Lord, in our conversations. May we not grieve the Spirit. And, O God, we pray then, a little later, take us, Lord, as we travel home, take us there safely. Pray for the meeting in Thy will on the Lord's Day evening. We ask, O God, again that You'll be pleased to help all who'll take part. O God, make it a night of salvation. And O God, we pray that this night may salvation come and visit this house. Do it, we pray, for Thy glory and Thine honour alone. Amen.